Tonight, I want to talk to you about scars. Raise your hand if you have a scar. Scars. Marks that remain on the skin after a wound is healed. Or maybe kind of healed. Scars. Fibrous and alternate tissue replacing normal tissue. Varying in appearance, texture, size, depending on the severity and type of the injury. My guess is in this room, there are varying different types of scars. Enduring symbols of past pain. Marks that remain as a testimony of struggles that have been endured. Evidence that someone has been wounded but not destroyed. Scars. Scars are interesting paradoxes in some ways. Kind of like the lyrics to that song. Kind of like the images that we just saw in that dance. Sort of a paradox where it's like both a scar healing has taken place, and yet there's still something there that didn't heal quite exactly right. So the healing has taken place, but it didn't heal to the original state. It healed a little thicker, maybe a little rougher, maybe looks a little different. And yet they say that a scar is technically healed. That's interesting. It's a paradox. It's evidence, a symbol, an image of the fact that you've been through something in the past. It's a mark that reminds you of what you've been through, though you're not currently going through it. A paradox, kind of like the lyrics to this song, singing about marriages that don't work and babies that die. Images that she's acting out, trying to find solace at the bottom of a bottle and sometimes getting to the end of the rope, literally. My guess is in a room this size, there may be even a person or five that has found themselves at the end of that rope at some point in their life. And that maybe your life is, in a sense, a paradox as well, where you live in this state of joy and happiness at times, and there's this sense that you're healed, and yet the scar still remains. And sometimes maybe you wish you're a little more healed than you are. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about Jesus, the Savior of the world, and how these scars that we carry, sometimes in our flesh and sometimes in our heart, sometimes in our emotions, sometimes in our mind, that he came for all of those and that he was put on that cross. The Bible says that anybody who's hung on a tree, that it's a curse. You know, scars are symbols, kind of like this piece of wood here is a symbol. It reminds us of pain that was endured long ago. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what it was that Jesus went through, what it was that he felt, what it was that he endured, because there may be a few like highlights or things that you've heard of in the past. Surely, no matter who you are, and if you've been in church, this is your first time in church, you surely know that Jesus was nailed to a cross. You might even know that he was taken to a post and that he was whipped and that he was beaten. You might have heard that he was spit on or that they took a crown of thorns, sharp thorns, and they jammed it on his head. You may even know some of the details about the cat of nine tails, and as those braids of the whip would enter into the flesh of a man, that they would literally grab on and rip the skin off, all the way down to the bone. You might even know that death by crucifixion is one of the most excruciating, in fact, that's where we get the word from, ways to die. You might even know that the way that you die by crucifixion is not the pain. It's not the blood loss. It's actually asphyxiation or suffocation. And you have to push up on your feet that are pinned to the tree just to catch a breath. And then you fall back down and your lungs are collapsed. Until you push up again to catch a breath until finally you suffocate. Well, today I want to read with you a passage in Isaiah 53 that prophesies about what it is that our Savior would go through 700 years prior to going through it. Here we go. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 10. It says that he was despised and rejected by men, despised by human beings, even though he was God in the flesh that stepped out of heaven to come to earth that he might serve men, he was despised by men. I wonder how you feel about him tonight. Do you think that he's just, you know, some supernatural Santa Claus that you just go to when you need something? You only pray to when times are getting really, really bad? Is he somebody that, you know, grandma believed in and you might show up to church on Christmas and Easter just because, but you just think he's sort of some irrelevant figure from the past? Or maybe you're here tonight and you do despise him. Maybe you're here tonight and you showed up because your plan was to cause a scene here tonight. Welcome. Maybe it was a divine conspiracy and God brought you here. But they despised him and they rejected him. And that would be like you could say that'd be like a scar that Jesus received for us. I wish I had like a visual aid. I wish I could just take a knife and just like scar myself up. Now, let's do it. Okay, not a knife, just a Sharpie. Just because sometimes we can just read the scripture and it's just like, we're just used to it. You just read it. Let me just show you the type of scars that he might have received in this passage. It says that he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Can you imagine that? The Son of God, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I think sometimes we look at other church folk and we think, well, they don't even know grief. They're smiling all the time. Of course, Jesus, he must have been happy all the time. He was one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken and smitten by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. The scars. More than just the nail holes in his hands. These are all the things that probably if we went through them, they would wound us deeply. And, you know, the truth is, the things that have hurt us physically that leave scars on our skin probably don't hurt us as much as the things that have left scars on our heart. I mean, I've broken some things before. Usually every turkey bowl or two. Note to self, if Bobby's running at you, don't go for a touchdown catch. So I've broken some things. But I'll tell you what, it's It's been the emotional scars that have hurt the most. My guess is you agree. Can you imagine stepping out of heaven and coming to your creation to love them and to serve them and to give to them? And they despise you, they reject you, they spit on you. Yeah. Scars. It says, with his wounds, we are healed. Oh, that's good news. Now, here's the truth. The scripture says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. That's every one of us. The preacher's not excluded. You're not excluded. Every one of us. We've all made the choice at some point in our life to go astray from the good shepherd. Some of the scars that we have, man, we didn't need the devil for those, right? We just kind of did them to ourselves. We've all gone astray. All turned to our own way. But it says this, even though we went our own way, we went astray, we deserve the punishment. It says, the Lord laid on him the punishment of us all. I mean, there wouldn't be enough marks for all of the, really the scars, the wounds that Jesus took for every single one of us and every human being throughout all of time. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. We see this actually take place when he's before Pilate. He stays quiet. He's not going to defend himself. Not going to try and get out of this thing. Some of us, we try and get out of our trouble. Now, like I referenced earlier, we need to be aware. He didn't want this, but he wanted this. Like, he felt it. He knew. He was sweating blood in the garden praying. But he wanted you. He wanted relationship with you. And so he set aside one of his desires, which is for earthly comfort, for a greater desire, which is the heavenly reward, which is you. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, he was stricken for our transgressions, or for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. There was a rich man that gave his tomb for Jesus to be buried in. Although he had no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. And he's put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, our guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, my guess is, for those of you that have really felt pain, for those of you that have really been through trauma, for those of you that have really gone through something in this life, and I were to ask you about your scars, my guess is you don't need a visual aid to bring to your heart and your memory the intense pain that you felt. You probably don't need a visual aid to stir up an emotion in you to get you to understand what it is that you went through in the past. This paradox, this thing that you've been healed from, and yet somehow there's something that still remains. It's like you've been healed, and yet you carry in your flesh, or maybe not in your flesh, but in your heart, you carry this constant reminder, this constant callous, that there was something that happened to you, and even though the definition says that you've been healed of it, you're still sitting here looking at the scar, wishing you were a little bit more healed. Some of you, probably even right now, you taste the pain. You're feeling the pain. You're feeling the loss, the brokenness. Some of you, you every day look at your scars, whether in the flesh or on your heart, and they're difficult for you. You know, in a room like this, there's some people that probably have scars, like right about here. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know that probably nobody in here has been whipped before. Okay, good. But some of you may have been physically abused. Just a scar. Now, some of you maybe haven't been beaten or whipped, but somebody's left a scar with their whispers. Now, some of you have been rejected by somebody. Maybe it was a divorce. Sometimes marriages don't work. That's what the song said. And my guess is if you've been through that, you don't need a song to tell you. You don't need a preacher to beat you down. You don't need somebody to make you feel guilty. You're probably here today saying, I wanted it to work. And now that person is gone and the divorce is over, but the fact is I still hold in my spirit a scar. And I wish it wasn't there. Maybe you found that your heart is now calloused. There's a callous on your heart to even find love or trust in somebody else again. Some people have received scars in church by spiritual leaders. Those that we were supposed to be able to trust, your parents, your mom or your dad, or your grandma or your grandpa, relatives that you were supposed to be able to trust, they're the last people that should ever take that knife and scar you, and that those are the people that dug the deepest. Those are the ones that don't come off easy. Some of you have some scars. You know, tonight I considered just talking through some different subjects and just turning all the lights on and just having you stand up if you've been through that. I'm not going to do that tonight, but the truth is, if you're here and you're going through something, even if you think that you have a scar that nobody else has, you need to know that you're not alone.
That's right.
People in this room, other than you, have been physically abused. People in this room, other than you, have been sexually abused, sometimes by family members. People in this room, other than you, are facing addiction to pornography, alcohol, substance abuse. People in this room have scars on their flesh or on their heart that they are responsible for because they've brought it on themselves, just like you. There's also many people in this room that you didn't do anything. Somebody else did it to you. And now you're the one that's left with this thing that you feel like everybody's seen. Reminds me of the crippled man that was in the synagogue with Jesus, and says that he was like hiding his hand in his cloak because he was crippled. Probably got made fun of all the time. And Jesus, just doing his Jesus thing, says, stand up in front of everybody and stretch out your hand. You know, it's like, yeah, just let me just show everybody my embarrassment. Well, sometimes that's what Jesus does. The beauty of Good Friday, which is a paradox. A good Friday, really? What's so good about Friday, the day that the Savior of the world was murdered? Everything's good about Friday because Sunday's coming. Right? That's why we call it good. Because Jesus comes and He washes us clean. If I could get my, can I get my stuff? visual aid. Here we go. It's the dawning of a new day. Hello. Couldn't help it. He likes it soapy. This is what Jesus does, right? This is what Jesus does. This is what Jesus does. You know what? It's probably not what Jesus does, actually. Take this back. Take this back. Jesus doesn't always just wash away the evidence of past pain. Jesus doesn't just take away your embarrassment. He doesn't just always remove every bit of the painful history, but what he does do is he covers it and he changes its definition. Did you know that of all the things that Jesus redeemed, healed, and restored as he rose from the grave on Sunday? Think about everything that he made right on Sunday. And by the way, we're only here today celebrating because of what happened on Sunday. It's like, you need to understand that the cross is sort of the pinnacle of all of human history. But without the resurrection, none of it works. Paul says this, that unless Jesus rose from the dead, we're all to be pitied among all men. The resurrection was absolutely essential because it not only showed that he was telling the truth about everything that he said, but it reveals that he has power over death and the grave, our sin, and all of eternity. And so think about all of the things that he restored as he rose from the grave on Sunday. He healed those lungs that were crushed. He came back to life with vigor, and he was talking to people. It says that he preached to 500. It says that he came into the room and he ate with his disciples, and he says, "Peace to you," and he joins them again. But of all the things that he healed, you know one thing he didn't heal? His scars. You know that he kept his scars? John 20 says this, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, who was not with the other disciples when Jesus first showed up." So Jesus shows up to some of the disciples, reveals himself to them, but Thomas wasn't there. Right? He wasn't able to see Jesus at the beginning. He wasn't in the in crowd. Some of you are here tonight and you're just sort of observing this whole thing, and you might find yourself to be a little bit like Thomas, like, "I don't know if I can believe all this." You're not alone. He wasn't with the 12 when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the marks or the scars of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I'll never believe." Well, that's quite a statement. I will never believe unless. Just tell you, it's a dangerous thing to negotiate with God on your terms. But the good news is that he's so good that he'll change the terms in a way that you appreciate in the end anyway, so long as you sign on the dotted line. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here," probably right there. "Feel my scar. See my hands. put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus is just some religious character in history. Nope. Oh, Jesus is just a good prophet. Nope. Good prophets are dead and they're in the grave still. Jesus is the Lord and God. Do you believe it tonight? Jesus says, have you believed because you've seen me? More poignantly, because you've seen my scars? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I. Of all of the things that Jesus healed, he didn't heal his scars. He could have easily. All signs of crucifixion could have been gone. It's as if he values that image, that picture, that sign of past pain because of what it means today. He doesn't just grab a soapy washcloth and wash everything away all of the time. Sometimes the scars that we're embarrassed of are the very things that he wants to use in our life. Friends, some of you are here thinking that the scars you have are the things that disqualify you, when actually God came here tonight to tell you that it was not just in light of or even in spite of your scars, it's actually through your scars that he wants to preach the message of hope and salvation. It's actually through your scars that he wants to use you to reach somebody else. He could have removed them from your life, but he wanted to leave them as a message and a symbol of what he's brought you through. God doesn't always just take away our problems, but he does redefine them. So you may have come in here tonight with a broken life, a scarred and scattered past, a scarred heart, a wounded mind, broken. You probably, some of you maybe don't even think that you're worthy to be in this room. If I go to church, it's gonna catch on fire. Listen, even Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus, got to eat dinner at that Last Supper. God is always interested and willing to give another chance. This is your chance tonight. If you don't know that you know that you know Jesus, this is your chance right now to come to know him. And there is no scar, no matter how deep, no matter self-inflicted or otherwise, that can separate you from him. No sin, no choice, no guilt, no shame that has to stand in the way, because the cross and the blood of Jesus covers it all. He has redefined our brokenness through the lens of the cross. So I just want to ask you, if you would, bow your head and close your eyes. This is a holy moment.